Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Cult Busting 101. I'm Jason Zelda coming to you with some more information. What we're going to do is, you know, I've been presenting you guys with some audio presentations in order to equip you in cult-proofing your family. I want it to be that your family and you yourself is fully informed about the cults so that you don't become a victim and that your family doesn't become a victim. But I have to add this to you so that you'll understand as well. It's great to watch videos like this, and I'm sure you've seen a lot of the series that I've put together. Leah Remedy's put together a series. There's a whole lot of people out there that's put together a lot of information trying to reach people who are involved in cults. In Mormonism, there's Ed Decker. When I was growing up, he put out information to warn me about Mormonism and to warn me about Freemasonry and stuff like that. There was Laurie and Keith McGregor. Laurie was involved with the Jehovah's Witnesses for some 15 years, and she came out and she began doing research, and she exposed the Jehovah's Witnesses from the inside out. She also exposed Seventh-day Adventists and various other groups, and I learned a lot growing up from these people who had gone there before me. And because they warned me when I was growing up, I never got caught up in these cults. Never joined Jehovah's Witnesses, never joined the Mormons, I never joined the Seventh-day Adventists, never joined the Catholic Church, never joined any of these groups. But instead, I began doing research in the Bible. I began doing research, trying to find out what God's Word was. And when I found out that this King James Bible was the Word of God, I said, I want to find out what it says. I want to find out what it teaches so that nobody can lead me astray when it comes to the Word of God. And it took me a while, but I read the whole thing cover to cover. And the insight that you get by reading the King James Bible cover to cover, it's powerful stuff, man. It's powerful stuff. Now, nobody can come to me and try to lead me to one of these so-called modern versions and tell me they got a better version, because I can show them where these new Bible versions are taking stuff out. King James Bible has all the stuff in. I want to give you a few mottos. I'm a man of many mottos. Some of the mottos that I live by, let me give you some of them. One of them, information is the enemy of the cult. Cult leaders go out of their way to make sure that their members are kept in the dark, but they'll call that darkness light. All the members of their group are convinced that their group and their group alone has the light, has the information, has the truth. And all the while, their leadership tells them that they are not permitted to read any book, watch any video, no documentary, you're not to watch any video, you're not to need newspapers, you're not even to speak to former members of the groups. Why? Because they want to make sure that their members do not have access to information that the leaders don't want them to have. The leaders have information they want to hide. They can't keep it hidden if their people are allowed the freedom to go and read a book, watch a documentary, watch a video, get on the internet, etc. They want to control what their members think. This is very important. But information is the enemy of the cult. And the more people that are informed about the cults, the few people they'll be able to recruit in. Now, for myself, I want people to come to Jesus Christ. I want people to get saved. I want them to have their sins forgiven. I want them to understand that it doesn't cost them anything. Jesus paid the whole price himself on that cross. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's free. And God offers it to you for free. He's wanting to give it to you for free. But these religious cults are not free. They make you work for it. They make you strive. They make you struggle. They put you under all this pressure to perform. And they can never guarantee you that if you did every single thing they told you to do, that you're going to be pleasing to God. Because if they say it does, it's going to contradict what this Bible says. It is by grace you're saved, not of works. It's by grace. It's not by works. You can't earn it. Grace is God gives it to you even though you didn't deserve it. He gave it to you because he loves you. He paid the price. When you're dealing with the cults, it's great to take in information like this. It's great to watch videos like this. I'm sure many of you have watched testimonies of people who've left any number of cults. There's a lot of them here on YouTube, and I listen to quite a few of them. Now I need to ask you a hard question. When is the last time you sat down with your son or your daughter and warned them about the cults? identifying the cults by name, showing them the symbols that cults use so that when they see these symbols, they'll know, oh, that's a cult. I'm not going that way. Oh, that's a cult. I'm not, no, no. The terminology, the expressions, people who are involved in cults, the cult leaders will tend to teach them a special vocabulary, certain words that are particular to that religion. You need to make them aware of these terms, because even if the cult member wanted to, they can't stop using those words. It's so indoctrinated into them, they can't stop using those words. There have been people who came out of Jehovah's Witnesses 10 years ago. But even though when they were in the group, they had it drilled in their head, drilled in their head, drilled in the head to call that religion the truth, the truth, the truth. When you ask a Jehovah's Witness how long they've been in the group, they'll say, well, you know, I've been a member of the truth for, and they'll tell you how long they've been there. They've been trained, indoctrinated to call their religion the truth. And long after they've left the group and they know that the group is not telling them the truth, they'll still find themselves using the term the truth when talking about the group. Why? Because it's been indoctrinated into their head to say that. But they're not the only ones. I've heard Mormons use the term the truth when talking about their group. I've heard Roman Catholics use the term the truth when talking about their group. I've heard Scientologists use the term the truth when talking about their group. There's a number of cults that have been indoctrinated into teaching their members to use these terms. Now, what I don't want is I don't want it to be that you sit back and you take in all this information. All this information that's in these series that I've been putting together and so many others that are out here getting the information out there to you. I'd hate for it to be that you take in all this information and you forget to tell your own family and warn your own family. And have your child get caught up in a cult. People would tend to come to me and ask me, how do I get my loved one out of this cult? How do I get my loved one out of that cult? That's the wrong question. You don't let them go in the first place. Because once they get in, there's nothing you can do, and there's nothing I can do that's going to get them out. As I said earlier, everybody's going to have their own personal, emotional earthquake when they're in the cult that will shake them up and get their attention. Everybody's going to have to do it. They're going to have their own... It's this side. There you go. Sorry about that. They're going to have their own personal emotional earthquake in order to get their lives in order. As long as they're in the cult, they're going to believe what the cult says. As long as they're in the group, they're going to believe what the group says. But there's something that's got to happen to them in the cult that shakes them up and gets them to start waking up. The internet is the greatest disaster for the cults because there's so much information out there. So take the time out and inform your children about the cults. Do it today. Don't waste any time because you have no idea if right now your children are being indoctrinated into the cults by one of their friends. Some of you may say, but your child is only in elementary school. Why should you tell them about the cults when they're in elementary school? Let me show you something. The cults don't care if you're a child. They don't care if you're a teenager. They don't care if you're an elderly person. They want to lure you in and milk you for all it's worth. They don't care who you are, how old you are. They'll use kids to their advantage. Take a look at this picture. This here is a Jehovah's Witness kiosk that's set up, giving away Jehovah's Witness material to people as they pass by. And who do they have standing there? Two young elementary school age kids holding Jehovah's Witness material. They don't care how young the person is. And if they're willing to put their own children out there like this, then you should know. They have no problem whatsoever indoctrinating those little children to go into the elementary school and to become friends with this one and this one and to lure that person little by little into believing the ways of the Watchtower, and you never even saw it coming. How many other religious groups are doing the same thing? It's up to you as a parent, as a guardian, to watch over your family and to protect them and guard them. And if after warning them they still decide to join a cult, it's not your fault. You tried. You gave it your best shot. You can't tell them ultimately which way to go. They're going to go the way they want to go, but they can never say they weren't warned. Now, cults today have gotten very creative. You just saw there the Jehovah's Witnesses are now using kiosks. They're setting up these booths now. Along with going door to door, they're now setting up these booths, and they're putting these booths in very public places like bus stations and public arenas and things. They're wanting to get their stuff out there where the public is walking around to try to get their publications out there, to try to bring people to their website. You need to inform your children to be on the lookout for these things. Don't be seduced by the glamour and the glitz. Some of these organizations put out some very pretty girls to stand out in front of their kiosks. Some handsome men to stand out to try to lure you in. I don't want you to get lured in. I want you to be aware of some of the tactics that are going on today that cults are using to lure people in. One of these things they're doing now is they're buying and putting together what is commonly called a front group. What a front group basically is these cults have lots of money. They got money to burn. So what they'll do is they'll purchase a name. The name has nothing to do with the cult, but the cult leader is running that organization. So a person would innocently come along and become a member of this charity or a member of this group or a member of this organization, and they would not even know that this group, charity, or organization is actually run by that cult they want nothing to do with. Many of these booths that they set up look very innocent. Let me show you. This here is a booth. It looks just as innocent as day, doesn't it? I mean, all it says is free stress test, Dianetics. That's all it says. I mean, what harm can there be in getting a free stress test, right? Until you look closer. You see, those who've done research into the cults, they know what Dianetics is. The average Joe doesn't, unless you inform them. Dianetics is the book used by Scientologists to lure people into Scientology. So what do you see here? Handsome guy, pretty girl, and a booth that does not say Scientology, but it's a Scientology recruitment booth. You didn't even know that, unless you've done the research. And one informed man has the ability to turn things around. One informed woman has the ability to turn things around. I want to show you a video right here. This is one informed man who just happened to be walking through this public area, and he saw this free stress test booth. It just happened to be that this man used to be a Scientologist, so he knew the tactics that they use. He knew this was not a stress test booth. He knew this was a recruitment center for Scientology. And they had blended themselves in with all these other booths. And to come to find out, in order to get that booth there, they had to lie to the people who were in charge of that place in order to get to the booth, that booth there. Because if they had told them they were the Church of Scientology, they would have never been allowed to do it. One man can make a difference. Watch the video and tell me what you think.
Well, look what we have here. Hey, Victor. Here we are at Mullingar Agricultural Show, and we have the Scientologists trying to hawk their wares. I think I'll sit down for a free stress test. What about, oh, this is the squirrely meter. This is the squirrely meter. You're not supposed to be using these, Victor. How's about I take a free stress test? Where do I take the stress test? Come on. You're supposed to, this is supposed to be a free stress test, and you're refusing me.
Sabrina's here as well.
I don't care. Where is Sabrina? I want the free stress test. Here. Here I am with Victor. He's refusing me a free stress test. Victor and Lily. That's no problem. Are you refusing me the stress test, Victor?
Yeah.
I'm sitting here comfortably. Do you know you're being prosecuted for fraud and extortion in Belgium on the 27th of October this year?
I'm sitting here waiting for my stress test. Here we have Victor, hawking Dianetics to unsuspecting potential customers. It's not going to happen. This is Scientology in disguise.
As you can see, this is a squirrely meter. Why? Is it a magic machine or something?
It's not yours.
It's not yours either. You aren't even yours. You're owned by Scientology, Victor.
Can you be
Go away? You're supposed to be able to use your OT powers to make me go away. How come that isn't working for you? I notice you've no customers. I'm the only one who sat down here. What are you reaching for? You gotta tell them there's an SP here. Victor, I'm the only one that sat down here today. I'm probably going to be the only one. Why aren't you giving me the stress test I request? Tell you what, I know how to do these. Why don't I give you a stress test? I'm availing of the free stress test. No, you know these are the members of the Church of Scientology trying to sell their wares to unsuspecting public. They're Church of Scientology, yes.
On your application form, you never mentioned about Scientology.
They are the Church of Scientology. They are being prosecuted in Belgium this year.
On your application form, you said you're selling books.
Yeah.
You have been prosecuted for fraud. You've been prosecuted for fraud in Belgium. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I look after the stall, Lily. No, I won't leave. I think I'll sit here. I think I'll take Victor's seat now. Mary has been reprimanded for lying on their application as to who they were. Sir, but just make sure you do, because these are a fraudulent organization. Okay, okay, but these are a fraudulent organization. Okay.
Okay, you move away from here.
Okay. Well, folks, it looks like you're busted. It looks like you're busted. How do you feel about that? No, we won't go away.
The man said that
the Church of Scientology are a fraudulent organization, and you're just trying to hide it here.
The man said that
I do not care. You're in the wrong, not me.
You're
the fraud. You're a fraud. You're a fraud. Victor and Lily, your days are numbered. No. You're here trying to lure unsuspecting people into the Church of Scientology. I've been there before, Victor. Why don't you call it Scientology instead of Dianetics? We all know what it is. You're going on YouTube later, sweetheart. So smile for the camera. Yes, you take a video. Good. Better than yours.
Yeah.
Better than yours.
Excellent. Excellent.
Now, here we have Victor Madaras videoing me and Lily videoing me. Hey, Sabrina. Yes, we have every right. We have every right. You're trying to deceive the public. You're trying to deceive the public. Yes, and Scientology are responsible for fraud, harassment. My name is John McGee, and well you know. Well you know. So why you ask? That is no problem, Victor. Put it in. You hear that? It's going into my case. Yes, you need this video.
Go and tell that you harass people.
Yes,
so that's
no problem at all.
No, that's against the law.
You're Scientologists. You are automatically against the law.
You are against the law. But anyway.
You won't come to my territory and deceive people. You see, Victor, that's what you get when you're trying to deceive people. Good. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Scientology lied on their application to obtain a stand at this event, and they've just been busted for it. And here's Victor now. They've just packed up their stuff and they're leaving.
That's the power of one man who's informed. He didn't back down. He didn't act scared. He got right in their face. Now, some of you don't like to get in the face thing. I understand that. But there's some groups that don't understand nothing but getting in their face. You got to understand that sometimes. There was nothing else that was going to move these two unless he told the authorities this group is illegal in this country and they're here under false pretenses. And then he let the authorities do their job. Now, this one man was able to protect that entire arena because, as you saw, the Scientologists had to pack up and leave. One man. In my old neighborhood, Jehovah's Witnesses would come by a lot on the weekends. And what I would do as one man, I'd grab my King James Bible and I'd go out there and I'd first try to talk to them. And if they wouldn't listen, if they would ignore me, that kind of thing, I'm like, okay. I'd stand back in the shadow and I'd watch. And every house they went to, I wrote down the address. Every house that took their magazine, write it down. Every house that they went inside of, write it down. Why? When the Jehovah's Witnesses leave the area, you go to the houses that took the magazines, and you go to the houses that they went into, and you warn those people about who the Jehovah's Witnesses really are. Most Jehovah's Witnesses going door to door have no clue whatsoever what's really going on in their group. They don't know about the child abuse scandal going on in their group. They don't know about their leader, Jeffrey Jackson, being taken to trial in Australia in the Australian Royal Commission in 2015. They have no clue about it. They've not been told about it, about the whole child sex abuse scandal. They have no clue about the majority of things that have happened in their own history because their leaders don't tell them. Most Jehovah's Witnesses have no clue about the real history of their group. So I want to try to inform them. And if they're not open to hear, then fine. I don't want them indoctrinating my neighbors. I don't want them misleading my neighbors. I don't want them misleading my friends, and I certainly don't want them misleading my own family. Now, I'm a single guy, no wife, no kids, no girlfriend at the moment, but if I did have a family, I certainly would not want the cults interfering in my family, no matter what the cult happens to be. So you can protect your own neighborhood by doing this kind of thing. Watch where they go. Go to these people and warn them. If they listen to you, great. If they don't listen to you, at least you tried. At least you tried. Now, many of these cults have gotten very creative in their ways of recruiting. Jehovah's Witnesses used to just go door to door. Now they're following in the footsteps of Scientology, and they're setting up kiosks and booths. So as you see, they're branching out by using these clever devices to lure people in. The kiosks that they set up all over the place. Take a look at all these different kinds of kiosks that they're setting up all over the place, trying to catch unsuspecting people as they're walking by. You need to inform your children and your family about these things. I was going a couple of weeks ago to get my car worked on. This little shopping center, little strip mall. And as I'm going in, I notice these two people coming over with a kiosk, and they set up a kiosk right there in front of the strip mall. It's not really much I can do about that, guys. All I can do is go up to them, try to talk with them, and I just sort of point them to the Hidden from Jehovah's Witness video series. Now, there's some people that have asked me, they've run into somebody that's interested in watching a video, which one should they see from the Hidden from Jehovah's Witness video series that I put together? There's a lot of people, and I've been watching these on YouTube, people who've obviously watched video 8A, The Smoking Gun, about the Watchtower and the stock market investments and how they're invested in these military companies and all these various different companies that, to their members, they demonize these companies while in real life they're actually invested in these companies. And what they would do is they would go up to Jehovah's Witnesses and they would talk about the stocks that the Watchtower owns. But there's one big problem. They're going to these Jehovah's Witnesses with bare hands, nothing in their hands, nothing in their hands. They have no proof in their hands to show the Jehovah's Witness what they're talking about. My recommendation for you is this. If you're going to use the information from video 8A, The Smoking Gun, don't forget there's a part B to that. The Smoking Gun Explained. Don't forget to watch that one too to get the full story and the full evidence on it. But if you're going to talk to them about the stocks, take the time out to print out all the 990 forms. Print out them all. That way when you go to them, you can not only tell them about the stocks, but you can show them the proof. It's more powerful if they see it than if they just hear it. Let me give you another one of my mottos. From the mouth to the ears to the garbage can. Or from the eyes to the brain to the memory to the heart. Now, where do you want your words to go? Do you want it to go to the garbage can? You want it to go to the garbage can, the easy way to do it, no matter what the cult is, you want your words to go straight in the garbage can? Go with words and nothing to back it up. It works every time. You go with words and nothing to back it up, they'll just brush it right off. I mean, if you're going to go with words, at least bring the word, bring the Bible, and quote Bible. At least they'll be able to look in it and see it's actually saying what you're saying. But if you're going to go to them and tell them this is what's going on and you have nothing but empty hands in front of you, it's not going to help. They need to physically see what you're talking about. If you're going to quote their literature, print it out so that they can see it. From the ears to the trash can is where it's going to go if you just talk. But if they're able to see it with their own eyes, it's going to go in the brain whether they want to or not. And if their heart is soft enough to where they really want to become Christians and they're realizing, wait a minute, this group isn't actually Christian. I thought it was Christian. Then they're going to start searching. Let me give you a true story of what happened to me. Years ago, I used to work in a warehouse. Lunchtime. There was three Jehovah's Witnesses there. I didn't know it at the time, but they made sure everybody knew that they were three Jehovah's Witnesses in that warehouse. Because at lunchtime, they would all gather around the table around their watchtower, and they're studying their watchtower. And they want to make sure everybody sees them studying their watchtower. So, I walked over to them. Tried to talk to one guy, he wasn't open to hear. Tried to talk to the other guy, he wasn't open to hear. I said, okay. But there's three guys there. If you want to reach people who are involved in cults, one of the best ways to do it, one-on-one. One-on-one. So I waited to talk to the third guy until we were by ourselves. Lunchtime. Others are in the break room. I pulled him out into the warehouse, and I began to talk to him about Jesus Christ and the Bible, the Word of God. King James, and what they teach in his organization. And he was putting up a fight. I mean, he was really trying to defend the Watchtower hard. And a question came to mind, and I thank Jesus for it. A question came to mind to ask him. And I asked him this question. I said, what is it? I know you believe you're in the truth, but what is it that if you found this out, that your leaders had done this, you would know they're not who they claim to be? You see, the Jehovah's Witness religion revolves completely around trusting in a group of men who call themselves a governing body. You're not allowed to speak out against them. You're not allowed to refute them. You're not allowed to disagree with them. You're not allowed to do anything against them, or you'll find yourself kicked out and shunned. You'll find yourself kicked out and shunned if you speak out against the group. If you speak out against the leadership. So I asked, what is it? What is it that if you found out that the leaders of your group had done this, you would know they're not who they claim to be? And this young man stopped. And he just paused for a minute and went, you know, no one's ever asked me that before. Let me think about that. Now I want you to think about this. Jehovah's Witnesses and people who are involved in cults in general are told they are not to exercise independent thinking. I asked this man a question that required him to think. But not only to think, it required him to think about the one thing Jehovah's Witnesses never think about. To think of a way that would cause you to leave the group. When he said, let me think about it, I didn't push him. I said, okay, look me up when you're ready. And I walked away. Some people would have pressed it. But I have to know, and you have to know, when to tap out and give them their space to think. So I walked away and gave him his space. A few days later, he comes back to me. He's been thinking on it for quite a bit. And he says, you know, remember a couple of days ago you asked me about, you know, what is the one thing that if I found out they had done it, you would know? I said, yeah. He said, I got it. He said, if you can find out if they've had anything whatsoever to do with government, I would know that they're not who they claim to be, because they're always railing on the government. Now, I could have just as easily said, well, you know, they've been members of the United Nations. They were in the United Nations, and they're still in the United Nations under the name European Association of Jehovah's Christian Witnesses. If you go online and you type that into your search engine, you will have your mind blown to find out how deep involved in the government the Jehovah's Witness leadership is. But you see, if I had done that, it would have gone from my lips to his ears to the garbage can, because I didn't have nothing in my hands to prove it. So here's what I did. I said, you know, that's interesting. Government, they have nothing to do with government. You know, let me look into that and see what I can find out. I might not be able to find anything, but let me look into that and I'll get back to you. He said, okay. So I goes home. I pulls up the documents. I pulled up the official document from the UN admitting that they've been members of the United Nations, acknowledged the date when the Watchtower Bomb and Track Society wrote a letter of resignation because they got caught. The Guardian newspaper over in England exposed the fact that the Watchtower has been involved in the United Nations, and the very next day after that article came out, the American branch of the Jehovah's Witnesses called the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society Incorporated publicly resigned from the UN. But you got to remember, those of you who watched the Smoking Gun Explained video that I put together, the Jehovah's Witness group goes by a whole bunch of different names. So they simply remove the name Watchtower Bible and Tract Society Incorporated from the UN list, and they just stayed in under the name the European Association of Jehovah's Christian Witnesses. So they make this little public thing that they're not there, and then they actually stayed. They're still there today. I went and printed out all the information. I printed out the letters that were written by the governing body, admitting that they've been members of the United Nations. Why would they write a letter admitting they're members of the United Nations? Because over in England, where the story broke, they had to have some kind of cover story to explain why they were there. So they claimed they were there to use their library, to use the UN library, which you don't have to join the UN to use their library at that time. So they lied to them over there. But they also wrote a contradictory letter to the elders in the United States because the story didn't break in the United States. The American Jehovah's Witnesses had no clue what happened over in England. To this day, the American Jehovah's Witnesses have no clue what happened over there in England. They were never told. So in the American letter to the American elders of the Jehovah's Witnesses, they say, you know, those opposers out there are claiming we're members of the United Nations. So I printed that one out too. And all the information I could gather, I didn't want to overwhelm them with too much. So I gave him about 5 pages or so. And I waited until he and I were by ourselves at lunchtime, pulled him out in the lunch onto the warehouse. And I said, remember you asked me about the Watchtower and the government thing? He said, yeah. I says, I went to see if there was anything out there, and I just want to give you what I found. Handed it to him. Now I got something in my hands. Now I've got proof. I handed it to him. And I shut my mouth. You see, if he started reading and I started talking to him, he'd be reading and looking over at me, and his mind is not going to be able to take in what's going on. So when I gave him the paperwork, I shut my mouth. And I let him read it. And he began to read the first page, the UN admitting that the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society has been a member and how long they've been there. He then goes to the next page. And he starts reading about the governing body admitting that they've been in the United Nations and all this. And claimed they were only there to use their library. And then he goes to the next page where the UN says you don't have to be a member to use the library. And then the next page where the leadership admits or claims though only opposers are claiming we're part of the UN. Now, their whole cloak's been busted. Their whole scheme has been busted by the time he got to the fourth or fifth page. He knew they were lying then. I kept my mouth shut. And this guy, who was defending Jehovah's Witnesses a few days ago, this man stood there with tears in his eyes. And he said, man, just give me a minute, okay? Just give me a minute. I didn't press him. I walked away, gave him his space. See, we men, we try to be tough guys because we're guys. We don't want nobody seeing us cry. We don't want anybody seeing us break. And I knew if what I had handed him caused that emotional earthquake I told you about earlier, I needed to stand back and let it do its job. A little while later, he comes back to me. He says, man, I really appreciate you showing me that. I didn't know. And he says, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. I got to go tell my wife, and I don't know how she's going to take it. Now I want you to think about this. This man has just become informed and he's waking up, but his wife is still asleep. This man ran the risk of losing his wife and children because of this group. He knew the truth. She didn't. And he was concerned, can I even tell her without some negative ramifications coming down? I don't want anybody to have to go through this nonsense anymore. When I went to that warehouse, there were 3 Jehovah's Witnesses working there. When I left, there was only 2. I was never able to reach the other 2. But you know what? I'm not worried about it. Because as a Christian, it's not my job to save anybody. The Holy Spirit convicts you of sins. He leads you to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ saves your soul if you will accept him. If you'll pray and ask him to forgive you of your sins, he forgives you of your sins. It's not your job to save anybody. It's not my job to save anybody. We were told, go into all the world and preach the gospel.
And in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, ye shall be witnesses unto me.
Jesus is the one we're supposed to be preaching about. You present the word of Jesus Christ to the people. If they hear it, great. If they don't hear it, your hands are clean. You tried. I want you to understand that. I'm trying to give you some ideas, some things to work on to deal with when you're dealing with people who are involved in cults. That brother will never again be lured into the watchtower. Why? He's got the information now. He's got the information now. Cults lie. Cults lie and they deceive. They have all these different ways of trying to recruit people in. The one I've done the most research on, of course, is the Jehovah's Witnesses. I've never been one, but they were the ones that were always coming around the neighborhood, so they were the ones I had to do a lot of research on to try to reach them. They'll often these days, rather than handing you a magazine and stuff, they want to point you to their website. You need to inform your children, beware. Beware of the cult's website. No matter what the cult is, their websites are going to be designed to lure people in. They're not designed to tell you the truth. They're designed to lure you in. Just like the free stress test booth, it's designed to lure you in. But cults will use deceptive tactics to lure you in. You watch a commercial for the Mormons. What do they advertise? They advertise the King James Bible. They advertise the real deal. Can you believe it? They advertise the real deal, the King James Bible. But guess what? Once you become a Mormon, you discover something very interesting. They use the Bible to lure you in. But they don't believe this book. They put 3 other books on top of it in their religion. They have the Book of Mormon at the top. They have a book called The Pearl of Great Price. And they have a book called Doctrine and Covenants. All 3 of those are written by Mormons for Mormons. And they put those books above the Bible. And then they have the King James Bible at the very bottom with a disclaimer that says, we believe the Word of God in as far as it's translated correctly. Right. No disclaimer on the Book of Mormon. No disclaimer on these other books. But on the Word of God, they're acknowledging they don't really believe it. But they'll use it to lure you in, and then they'll do a bait and switch. I don't want you to get sucked in, and I don't want your kids to get sucked in. I want to give you some pointers. A lot of these cult groups use front groups because they know they have bad reputations. So in order to get around that, they now set up kiosks all over the place. Be on the lookout and beware that that's what you're dealing with. Scientology has a bunch of front groups as well. Be on the lookout. Just be aware. If you want to be a Scientologist, that's on you. But if you want to be a Christian, don't confuse Christianity and Scientology. They are not the same thing. And one of the biggest riddles I cannot understand, Scientology has 0 to do with Christianity. 0. Nothing. Yet the symbol for Scientology is what? A cross with an X through it. It has nothing to do with the cross of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ.
Yet their symbol is a cross with an X through it. So unsuspecting people seeing that cross would think, oh, this must be a Christian organization. And they're lured in. So be aware of this. Do your research. Find out what's going on. Find out about the front groups. A lot of these cult groups out there have front groups. You need to seek them out. Don't just go joining an organization without doing the homework, guys, because a lot of these groups will set up these really pretty looking front groups. And you have no idea that when you join, when you contribute, when you're getting in there, you're actually joining the cult and you don't realize it. They know you're not going to come in through the front door, so they'll try to get you in through the back door. A couple of signs that you're dealing with a cult. There are a few things about cults that are pretty identifiable when you're dealing with religious cults. One of the first things is they would have very charismatic leaders in many cases at the top. Sometimes the leaders at the top are not very charismatic, but the thing about the leaders is the members of the cult are not allowed to challenge the teachings of the leader. If you're involved in a religion where you're not allowed to challenge verbally and audibly in front of people, in front of other members, the leadership of your group without having to be fearful of suffering some kind of punishment for doing so, you're involved in a cult. Nobody is above being questioned. Even in the Bible, there were people who even questioned God when God was doing things. In Numbers chapter 14, Moses challenges God. When God was going to strike down the children of Israel because they continued to rebel against him, Moses questioned God. And God did not strike him down for daring to question him. In other passages, Abraham questioned God, says, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" God did not strike Abraham down for questioning him. If you have human leaders who think that they're above being questioned, you're dealing with a cult. If you're afraid to challenge the leadership of your group, if they say something wrong or do something wrong, or you hear about something and you dare to verbalize it, but you're afraid that something's going to happen to you inside the group for daring to challenge the leaders, you're involved in a cult. That's one of the signs. Another one of the signs of a cult is they will deny that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. That is one of the similar signs of the cults, is they will deny that Jesus is God Almighty. They will always reduce him down to being a mere man, a prophet, a good person, a guru, some kind of something else, whether it be a created being like an angel or avatar or something of that category. They would always want to reduce Jesus down to being anything but God, even though the King James Bible clearly says, "Great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh." And that verse begins by saying, "and without controversy," meaning there's no controversy to the statement that's about to be made. It says, "and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh." And if you're dealing with a Bible translation that doesn't say God was manifest in the flesh, you've got a fake Bible. They changed that verse to remove the fact that Jesus is God. You got to be careful, because the cults have also gotten into the business of putting together their own custom-made Bible translations. And they will send their people out to find people who don't know the Bible in the first place, because these will be the easiest ones to recruit. If you have someone that knows the King James Bible, they are not going to get sucked into a cult. But if you're embracing and accepting these so-called modern translations, you can easily get sucked into a cult, because these modern versions have been changed, trying to water down the fact that Jesus is God. Some more things about cults. Cults will often have a system of punishment for those who don't go along with what the leadership says, whether it be isolation, whether it be shunning, whether it be demoting you, humiliating you in front of others inside the group. They have various different ways of punishing people who don't go along with what they're trying to teach. there's a system of grooming inside the cults as well. They'll try to, at first, what they call love bomb. When you first go to that particular religious establishment, all the members will tend to gather around and they'll try to love bomb you. They'll try to pretend like you're the most important person in the world, like the whole world revolves around you, and they try to make it feel like you have this great family of people that really care about you. The problem is they're trained to do that. It's not genuine. It's not genuine true love, because these very same people who will gather around you and pretend like they love you, the moment you begin to question their leadership, you will see, just like that, they will turn on you just as quick as day. They will turn on you just that fast. It's not genuine and true love. There's also, in many of the cults, they have their ways of getting your money. They want you in the group for several different reasons. One is free labor. There's a lot of cults out there that uses their members as free labor for the leadership. For the Jehovah's Witnesses, for instance, they will use their members for free labor, building what they call kingdom halls and convention centers and various other places. These members volunteer, quote unquote, volunteer to help build these buildings, often at their own expense. The leadership ain't dishing out a lot of money. It's the members who are dishing out the money. They often buy the material. They help build the buildings. They help maintain the buildings, keeping them clean the whole nine yards. And then the leadership will come in later, take over that kingdom hall or convention center, ship the Jehovah's Witnesses who were in that kingdom hall to another kingdom hall across town, and then take that kingdom hall that was built, paid for, and maintained by the members, not the leaders. The members built it, the members paid for it, the members maintained it. The leaders will then come in, ship those members to another kingdom hall, and sell that kingdom hall for a 100% profit to the leaders, and the members don't get a penny of it. They use the members for free labor. And there's a number of religions out there that do that kind of thing. You got to be careful with these cults. The cults will often claim that they have secret information, that somehow the truth got lost, but it was their fearless leader that was chosen by God to bring the truth back to the world. That is a common theme in the cults, whether it's Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist, the list goes on and on. They all claim that the truth got lost in the past, but then God chose their leader to bring the truth back. But Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." To prevail means to overcome, to gain the victory, superiority, or advantage. The real truth never got lost. So if they're telling you that the truth got lost, they're not giving you the truth of the Bible. They're presenting you something different, because Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. His teachings are not going to get lost, and they haven't gotten lost. So whatever they're trying to bring you is not the word of Jesus. They're giving you something different. That's often why they have to present their own custom-made Bible translation, because the real Bible, the King James Bible, doesn't teach what they believe. So they have to write their own custom translation of the Bible. Cults will often teach people their own custom vocabulary, certain words that is exclusive to their particular group. Again, since Jehovah's Witnesses is the one that I've done the most research on, they have certain buzzwords within their group. Like, they won't say excommunication, they'll say disfellowship. They use words like system of things rather than saying world. Instead of Old Testament, New Testament, it's the Hebrew scriptures and the Greek scriptures. They change terminologies. They will use similar Christian terms, but they will change the definitions of what the words mean, and that's what cults do all the time. They will use Christian terminology to try to lead you to believe that they're a Christian group, but then they will change the definition of what the words mean. For instance, we Christians, we believe that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. That's what my King James Bible says. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. When you're dealing with a cult, they'll use the same word, Jesus, but they don't have him as God in the flesh. For the Jehovah's Witness, they say Jesus is Michael the Archangel. For the Seventh-day Adventist, they say Jesus is Michael the Archangel. The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus, you have to reach Jesus through his mother, Mary. Where's that in the Bible? Where's that? There's one mediator between God and man, that's Jesus Christ. You don't got to go through his mom to get to him. What's up with that? But this is how the cults operate. This is how they function. They will use Christian terminology and change the definitions of what the words mean. So these are some of the things you need to look out for when you're dealing with a cult. If they're coming to you telling you that they have secret information or information that was held back from Christians, or that we Christians lost our way, or the Christian message got lost somewhere in the past, and that they're here to bring the truth back, or they're here to vindicate this name or vindicate that name, you are dealing with a cult, mainly when you begin to question their leaders and they begin to turn on you for daring to question the leaders. You know you're dealing with a cult. I just wanted to give you some of the telltale signs that you're dealing with a cult. Beware of any religion that comes along that tells you that you have to confess your sins to the leaders. Whether those leaders are elders, auditors, priests, whatever they want to call themselves, the cults tend to operate the same way. They'll use different terms, but they're all operating the same way, using the same tactics, the same methods, the same stuff, just under different names. Nowhere in the Bible, in my King James Bible, will you find it saying, confess your sins to another person. If you're using one of the New Bible versions, don't bring that New Bible version to me. I'm sticking with the King James Bible. It says confess your faults in the King James Bible. We all have faults. But you confess your sins to Jesus Christ. You don't confess your sins to some guy or some woman. Because what they do in the cults is when you're sitting there and you're telling them every nasty, dirty, stinking, rotten thing you've ever done, guess what? Whether you know it or not, the person on the other side, they're keeping a record. And if they're not writing it down in front of you, guess what? There's a secret recording device recording everything you say. And they'll keep a record of it. Why are they keeping a record of all your dirty deeds? Because if you decide to leave, they have all the dirt on you. That's why. It's a way of controlling you. If you don't think your religious group has a record on you, a file on you, when they have you confessing to the men and the women who are leaders of your groups, what are they keeping files on you for? Why don't you ask them, can you see your file and see what happens to you? True Christianity doesn't operate that way. We confess our sins to Jesus Christ, and you know what? My King James Bible tells me He'll forgive my sins. And he won't even remember them anymore. He won't even remember them anymore. Imagine that kind of grace. That because you cared enough to come to Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive you, he not only forgives that sin, but he doesn't even remember it anymore. That's not how the cults operate, is it? If you watch Leah Remini's series, Scientology in the Aftermath, she starts off her series by doing what? Sitting there with a piece of paper saying, this is what the church has to say about this person that you're about to hear from, and starts reading from their record. Just to give you proof that they're keeping records on you. She's come out. She knows how it works. When you go into that back room with the elders and the Jehovah's Witnesses and your judicial committee, guess what? They got records on you. Whatever your religion is, you think when you sit in that booth as a Roman Catholic and you're talking to that priest, he's not keeping records on you? You better wake up, guys. I don't want you guys getting caught up in it. Now, again, if you guys want to be a Catholic, I can't stop you. You want to be a Scientologist? I can't stop you. You want to be a Jehovah's Witness? I can't stop you from doing that. You want to be a Mormon? I can't stop you. All I can do is stand here and say, look, you can choose to be any one of those. And any number of other groups out there, they'll put you in chains. You'll be in mental chains. They'll keep you intimidated and scared and in fear. Intimidated. That's how all the cults keep them in. Any group that tells you you're not allowed to speak to former members, you're dealing with a cult. I issued a challenge way back when, one of my earlier videos. Show me in my King James Bible where Jesus shunned anybody, no matter how wicked the person was. Ain't in there. No matter how wicked the person was. The day before Jesus was crucified, he's in a room talking with a bunch of religious leaders. This woman comes in. She takes this alabaster box that's filled with expensive ointment and she breaks it and pours it all over his head and goes around to his feet and begins to cry uncontrollably at his feet. The religious men there in the room says, if he knew what manner of woman this was, he wouldn't be allowing her to do that. So let me ask you, what manner of woman was she? What manner of woman was she? That these religious leaders are so holy, so mighty, that they didn't want anything to do with her. And if she was what you think she was, then what did she have to do to acquire that expensive ointment that was in the alabaster box that she broke over and poured on Jesus? You see, Jesus knew who she was. He knew what she had done, and he knew how many times she did it, and he knew who she did it with. He's God. But you see, somewhere along the line, that lady had come to Jesus and got forgiveness. And as a token of gratitude for the grace that God showed her, he didn't have to show her grace. But he loves us enough that if you come to Jesus, he'll forgive you. And no matter what this woman had done, she was forgiven, and she knew she was forgiven. And the only thing she could think of, I'm going to get the most expensive ointment I can afford, and I'm just going to pour it on him as a token of appreciation and just cry at his feet. I have nothing else to give. And she gave what she had, the ointment and her tears, as a token of appreciation to Jesus Christ. Now, what did Jesus do in return? Did he shun her? Did he throw her out? No. He forgave her right there in front of everybody. Let all those religious leaders know. I know what she's done. And she's forgiven. And any time this gospel is preached, this woman's going to be mentioned. You know what he did? He put her in the Bible. Oh, if he knew what manner of woman she was, he wouldn't be letting her do this. He knew what manner of woman she was. She's just like us. She's just like us. The difference is, she came to a point in her life where she realized doing good works wasn't going to get it done. Being religious was not going to get it done. Trying to do good deeds was not going to get it done. She needed to be at peace with Jesus Christ. And she came to him. And he gave her the peace. He gave her forgiveness. And that very same forgiveness that he offered her, he offers you. The question is, will you take it? You don't have to get involved in a cult. All these cults are going to do is make you think that you're pleasing God by obeying them. But you're not. Get yourself a King James Bible. You English speaking? Get yourself one of these. Authorized King James Bible. Don't settle for the so-called New King James. It's a fake Bible. Stick with the one called the Authorized King James Version. If you have any trouble understanding this book, I have a free video on YouTube called Answering the Critics of the King James Bible, in which I explain to you what thee and thou and ye means and why these words are important to have in the Bible. You can't just take those out and still have an accurate Bible. You'll destroy the Bible in English by taking those words out. Those words have special meanings. That's why they were used. Your sins can be forgiven today simply by coming to Jesus Christ and asking him for forgiveness. You say, well, that's too easy. Yeah, it's too easy for you. Too easy for me. We didn't have to have our back whipped like Jesus did. We didn't have to wear a crown of thorns like Jesus did. We didn't get beat up by soldiers like Jesus did. We didn't get paraded down the street carrying a cross like Jesus did. We didn't get nailed to a cross and hung naked in front of everybody. The Bible said they stripped him of his raiment and they cast lots for it to see who would get it. He hung there naked. The God of creation, who created everything, who at a moment's time could have spoke the word and wiped everybody out. But because he loved us, I'm not going to wipe him out. I'm not going to wipe him out. I'm going to go ahead and go through this. Because there will be some who will believe. And for them, I'm going to have a brand new heaven and a brand new earth for them. Because this old earth is going to get burned up and wiped out. He's been very patient with the human race now for nearly 2,000 years, waiting for people to come to him. And the cults have come and have led people astray. And nickel and dimers like me are stepping up saying, hey guys, don't go to the cults, come to Jesus. Don't go to the cults, come to Jesus. Doesn't cost you anything. Doesn't cost you anything. You come to Jesus. He paid the full price on the cross. He said, it is finished on the cross. It's finished. Nothing more you can do. You being good is not going to get you any closer to God. You being religious is not going to get you any closer to God. You going to church every Sunday is not getting you any closer to God. You going door to door is not getting you any closer to God. You holding on to the cans and talking to the auditor is not getting you any closer to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You try to go in through a different way, the Bible says you're a thief and a robber. And I guarantee you, you will not break into God's house. So why don't you come the way he said? He's offering mercy to all of us. He's offering grace to all of us. Will you take it, is the question. That's your choice. Ask Jesus to forgive you your sins. Get yourself a King James Bible. Start in the New Testament. Start reading. Learn what God wants you to know. Learn the mysteries of this book. Learn the mysteries of this book. That pretty much does it, guys. Cult busting 101. It's pretty hard, man. I make a lot of enemies doing this, and I don't like making enemies. But I didn't lie. I told you the truth. And I look forward to seeing you guys on the next video. Till next we meet, may the grace of my God Jesus be with you. Good night. And feel free to check out my music site, jasonzelda.com. There you'll find a lot of music that I've written and composed. Hope you guys enjoy it. You can set any price that you want for the songs, from $1 to $500 to $1,000, whatever you want to pay. And I hope you guys will enjoy it. I'll see you guys down the road. Good night, everybody.